It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Michael Eisen.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. The Giants had their golf outing yesterday, which is why we were not on the air. But we're back now, and we'll be with you throughout minicamp and then, of course, training camp coming your way in August. We're joined by Michael Eisen this morning, beat reporter for Giants.com. Michael, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, John. How are you?
Doing good. How was your Memorial Day weekend? What'd you do?
Well, I went to Philadelphia Memorial Day to see the NCAA lacrosse final. And unfortunately, after taking a 6-1 lead, my Syracuse Orange got hammered and lost 16-10. It was a beautiful day. Duke.
Duke's one of the perennial powerhouses in lacrosse, correct?
Well, so Syracuse.
Well.
Syracuse had a problem winning faceoffs, and Duke just dominated from the second quarter on.
Well, you know, there are a couple things. Not a whole lot going on the last weekend or so with the Giants, Mike. But one piece of news that we didn't really touch a whole lot on last week, at least on this show, was the Giants assigned to bring back the great Ramses Barden, who has been with them for the last it's 4 seasons, and now he's going to be back for a 5th.
Yeah. Well, he'll be for a 5th training camp.
Correct. And we'll see if he can make the roster. Your thoughts on them bringing back Ramses?
Well, they needed another wide receiver. They felt they needed another wide receiver. And, as we both know, neither Victor Cruz nor Hakeem Nicks have been participating in the organized team activities, which continue today. So they needed another wideout. Ramses was out there. He obviously knows the offense. He's been here for the previous 4 years. frankly, whether this is more of a bringing in a spring/training camp body or whether he has a legitimate chance to make the team again, it's hard to say, but he does have an opportunity.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. How do you take the whole Hakeem Nicks not being here thing last week? It seems odd to me. Nobody seems to know exactly why Hakeem hasn't said anything. There's been reports out there that it's contract related. There's been reports out there that it's not contract related. So it's really hard to tell what the status is right now, besides the fact that he wasn't here for 2 days.
Yeah. Again, we have to remember these are voluntary workouts. He doesn't have to be here. Obviously, Tom Coughlin would like him to be here, but he has not said publicly why he's not here. I believe his agent said it's not contract related. So I don't know. There is no mandatory function until the minicamp in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so, we'll see what happens. I think that probably spurred the Giants to some extent, but probably more the Victor Cruz thing in terms of bringing Barden back. And, the funny thing about Barden is that, he'll fight for a spot with a guy like, Jernigan probably, the end of the wide receiver chart, but he's really a different type of wide receiver than Jernigan. They almost play two different positions. Their styles are so different. Based on that, which guy do you think would have the upper hand, based on their styles and the, one plays more the slot, one plays more that X position?
It's hard to say who would have the upper hand because, frankly, neither of them have done anything significant since they've been here. I would guess Jernigan would have maybe a little bit of a lead only because he can be used as a punt and kickoff returner too, which Barden does not do. Maybe, in a close contest, maybe that decides who gets a roster spot. But really, to me, they're in the same boat. They're very different looking figures in the same boat, but they're in the same boat. They've really, in this training camp coming up, they really have to prove that they belong and need to secure themselves a roster spot.
And, of course, never hell hurts either having somebody there to push Reuben Randle to a certain extent, too, because Barden plays the same position basically that Randle does. So you have Barden there, gives a little competition, and it helps you push Reuben Randle.
Yeah, everyone has been saying, been conceding that third receiver spot to Reuben Randle, and I don't know that he would get complacent, but It's good that he does have someone up his back now.
You know, because last year at the start of the season, there were some, you know, rumblings, complaints, quite public by the Giants players and coaches that Randall had to, you know, kind of straighten up, get on the beaten path, work a little bit harder, get a little bit more serious. And he seemed to do so. He played well at the end of the season. But, you know, with young players, you have to keep on top of them with stuff like that to make sure they don't fall back into bad habits.
No question. And, you know, the from the first to the second year is when so many players make their biggest improvement, and the Giants really need Reuben Randall to do that this year if he's going to be the third receiver. And a lot of that is going to depend on whether he has the proper attitude to do the work necessary.
What's your feel on where he needs to get better to take that next step?
Oh, I just think separation from defenders. You know, I think with all young, so many young receivers coming into the NFL, you know, they're not used to the skill level and the speed of the cornerbacks playing against them. You know, he did show that a little bit in the season finale against Philadelphia, although, frankly, who knows how hard the Eagles were playing in that game. But, yeah, I would say the same thing really most young receivers need, route running and separation.
No question about it. 201-939-4513. Had a chance, Mike, yesterday at the golf outing to kind of just catch up to and chat with David Wilson a little bit in terms of the Giants running back position. As of now, they have four or five guys on the roster kind of battling out for all those spots. But the guy that's going to be blocking for him was Henry Hanoski. Now we know he's going to be out until the start of the regular season. We should touch a little bit on that. Is it just going to be Bear Pascoe slipping into that role? Do you think the Giants will try to bring somebody else back in to replace him? There's not a lot of traditional fullbacks left in
the open
market.
I don't know if anybody is out there to bring in, frankly. Right. You know, Bear Pascoe will fill that role, I guess, throughout training camp. They could bring in, you know, a young free agent just to have another body there at training camp. But from what I've heard and what they're hoping, Henry will be ready for the start of the regular season. And you know, you can just kind of get through camp and the preseason doing other things and using Bear in that spot. I mean, as long as Henry Hanoski's back for the regular season, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, the way college football is going now, you don't see fullbacks drafted pretty much ever anymore, even in the sixth or seventh round. You know, the way these teams run in the spread, you know, four or five wide receivers in college, these guys just aren't around like they used to be.
They really aren't, and I think you're going to start to see, you have started to see the same thing with tight ends. There really aren't that many tight ends as there used to be because so many teams just go with four wide receivers in their spread offense now.
And these guys that call themselves tight ends a lot of the time are nothing more but bigger or
big
heavier
wide receivers
that stand off the line of scrimmage.
They're Ramsey's Bardens.
How do you think that will affect the running game, though? If Hanoski, when he gets back, maybe it's going to take him a few weeks to get back into the mix a little bit. How do you think that will affect the Giants' running attack?
You know, frankly, I think minimally. I think, you know, really the key to the running game is the offensive line. Yes, Hanoski's been a good blocker, and he's made some, you know, catches. But really, to me, it's up to the line. And this year, how well David Wilson adjusts to being the starter. And, yeah, Hanoski, you want your fullback in there to block, but, you know, Bear can do that if necessary. And I just don't, you hate to lose Henry, but I don't think it's going to, you know, doom the running game to failure.
Do you think Wilson's a guy that there's going to be a certain level of diminishing returns the more carries he gets? Is he a guy that maybe won't look quite as explosive and as phenomenal if he gets 15, 16, 17 carries a game as opposed to 7 or 8?
You know, no, I don't think that. You know, the common thought is that it's the smaller backs like Wilson who absorb the punishment and are at greater risk of injury. And really, to me, it's the other way around. It's the big backs like Brandon Jacobs who absorb the hard hits all game. And they're the ones not necessarily wear down at the end of the year but are almost more susceptible to injury. Backs like David Wilson, like Tiki Barber.
Warwick Dunn, another guy.
Yeah, they're better at avoiding those hits.
Right.
And they are strong and fast at the end of the game. So, no, I don't see that at all.
You know, even guys like, you know, Barry Sanders, who really retired for his own sake, not because he was banged up. Emmitt Smith, another guy who played forever and avoided serious injury. And Emmitt Smith and David Wilson, in terms of, like, physical stature, they're not that far apart. Their body types are actually fairly similar.
Oh, yeah. And they even wear the same number now.
They do, 22. You're right. Good call.
No, I don't think, look, you can always, there can always be that one hit where something may happen. But
right.
I think in general, David Wilson is elusive enough to avoid the big hit, and I don't think he'll wear down at the end of games.
201-939-4513. Len's down in Maryland. Len, good morning. Long time no speak, pal. How was your weekend?
Good morning. Yes, it was very good. How was yours, John?
It was pretty good. A little R&R never hurt anybody, my friend.
Absolutely. Well, with OTAs back in business for the next 3 days, just a couple of things that I'm curious about. I'm not suggesting that you guys need to give me the answers to these today as I ask these questions, but just kind of as a curious fan, here's what I'm looking to find out. One, are Cruz and Nick's around? Two, who runs at fullback now for the rest of this off-season period with Hynoski out? Three, how is Justin Pugh being used? Him around, or are they keeping him at right tackle? Is he running with the ones? Cooper Taylor, is he at least running, with the second string guys? Has he moved up at all in their thinking? And I guess a question for you folks this morning, again, I wasn't looking for answers to those questions. I guess it'll be media access, and some word will leak out one way or the other about what's happening in these OTAs. I can't figure out the significance of the June 1 date, John. I know a lot of people have talked about, June 1 being a significant date.
Well, as far as, Len, June 1st used to be a significant date because on June 1st, what would happen, you could cut a player after June 1st, and the salary hit would not happen for the current season, it would happen for the next season. Now, they still have in the new CBA June 1st cuts, but you can actually designate somebody a June 1st cut now before June 1st actually gets there.
Right.
So this year, June 1st isn't really a big deal anymore. You're not going to see a lot of players get cut loose after June 1st, only because you can designate guys a June 1st cut even before that date to get there. Mike, I think I have that right,
yeah,
correct?
I believe you do, John.
Okay.
Okay, well, good. I appreciate that information. And anything else that comes out of these OTAs to satisfy the curious Giant fans, I can't wait to hear it.
All right. Well,
Thank you.
To me, tomorrow is a media access day at OTA. So
good. All right. Well, I'll be paying more attention tomorrow.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And all those rhetorical—I guess they call them rhetorical questions. It's too early in the game to really take a look at a lot of that stuff, especially for the rookies. They're not there. Even if the Giants expect some of these guys to start, they're not going to be with the first team yet. They're still trying to figure things out.
Yeah, Pugh, from what we've seen, has been working at right tackle, but not with the first team. Taylor is going to—he's working. He's certainly not with the first team. We've already discussed that Pasco will fill in for Hynoski, and look, Cruz isn't going to be here until he signs a contract, which I suspect hopefully will be prior to the minicamp. And Nick's, I don't know. We'll see if Nick's is here tomorrow.
No question about it. Good tweet coming in from my buddy D. Slifton for the Ramsey's Barding question we had on Twitter. Should we use the hashtag can't teach height?
I thought
it was funny. And then Mike Farmer actually writes it, and maybe you have some word on what he's up to. I really have no idea, Mike. Is signing Madison Hedgecock an option for the Giants? Is he even playing for anybody?
I don't think he's played football in 3 years.
Now, was it a back or shoulder with him? I'm trying to remember.
I believe it was a shoulder.
It was a shoulder,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he was skills were diminishing, and he hasn't played in a long time. I wouldn't think that would be a possibility.
You know what, though? He did get his contract. So after those 2 years, he did get a little bit of a contract with some guaranteed money. So hopefully he managed that all right, and he's doing okay. 201-939-4513. Jeff's up in Rhode Island. What's going on, Jeff?
Morning, guys. How you doing today?
Doing all right, Jeff. What's up?
Ramsey's Biden. I was really baffled, actually, why they brought him back. My comment being that, if he played football on Mr. Rogers' team in the land of make-believe, undoubtedly he'd be an all-pro every year. But it's nice to have one of our secret weapons back.
Jeff, he's 6'6", man. You can't teach height.
Yeah, he is 6'6".
He's a red zone weapon.
Him about, 7 inches taller than I am. But anyways, I was wondering, the tight end that we drafted, was it last year? Yeah, last year.
Adrian Robinson.
The kid from Cincinnati.
Yeah, Robinson.
Yeah. Anything going on with him? Any lay you can shed on him?
Yeah, he's making some progress. You know, he was really further behind than most of the probably all of the drafted rookies last year because he had to remain in Cincinnati and finish his academic work during this period last year. So he did not take part in the OTAs and the spring work. And then afterward, Michael Pope, the tight ends coach, wanted to go to Cincinnati and just work with him for a week, help him learn the offense and do some drills, and was forbidden to do so by the new CBA, which is the kind of thing that is, I think, eventually going to lead to a regression in the quality of play in the NFL. But he's got the benefit of a full he was on the roster all last season. He practiced every day. He impressed people in practice. He's going through the all the spring work now. By all accounts, he's really shown marked improvement. So hopefully the Giants will get something out of him this year.
Yeah, well, that's good. It would seem that, you know, maybe we have a pass-catching tight end with that kid that we got from the Raiders, but I don't know about that. But who do you think the blocking tight end might be this year?
Oh, Bear. I think once Henry Ionoski comes back, it'll be Bear. I mean, Bear's very good in that role. But, you know, as I say, Robinson may get a shot to do that. And, you know, Brandon Myers is going to have to block too. He's just not going to be able to just come in and catch passes.
Well, the thing about Adrian Robinson and too, Jeff, is when he was at Cincinnati, Mike, he never actually played on the line of scrimmage because of their passing offense, right?
Yeah, he was one of those spread type attacks, and he was not really much of a blocker. But he's big fella, and he's learning.
Oh, he's big. He's an athlete. He only had what? How many? 40 or 50 career catches at Cincinnati
40,
over 3 years,
very
something
few.
Like that. So
very few.
Jeff, he has a lot of learning to do, but you hope. I'm not sure if you could expect him to develop this year into like a guy that's going to start, you know, play 60 snaps for you. But I think what you want to see from him this year is you want to see some flashes. You want to see him show off that athleticism, make some big plays, and show the Giants that, I got something. Maybe by midseason, by week 10, you might see some more 12 formation stuff with him as the second tight end. You use him in that regard.
Okay. So you guys will be at the practice tomorrow? Is
we'll
there
be there. Yeah, okay. We'll be there.
Okay. Well, thank you, then. You all have a good day now.
You too.
Appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks a lot, man. 201-939-4513. Back to our phones. Let's say the Shake's down in Baltimore. What's up, bud?
What's going on, y'all?
How are you?
I know y'all had a good Memorial Day weekend.
We did.
Yeah, good. Because I've been mounting up my questions while y'all were gone.
No problem, Shakes. That's why we're here. What's up?
Okay, I got a few of them, man. All right, but first off, I wanted to say all the articles on Aaron Curry and everything, and you know I'm big on Aaron Curry.
I know you're very excited, Chicks.
Yes, I am. And he got endorsed by Ken Norton Jr., who was coaching him in Seattle, and he was saying the same things that I was saying that possibly was happening with Aaron Curry at that time. So I just think that with him saying the impact backer, he could be. Get me a little bit more excited. all right, I got a little questions here. Okay, now, I think that our roster is set. I just think that we need a veteran running back, like somebody that really knows for sure how to block. So, like, you really think that the organization is thinking like how I am, and the three heads that keep coming to my mind is Bradshaw, Jacobs, and Turner.
Well, you know, Chase, I think that's a fair question. And Mike, if the guy's on the roster now, you had to pick their pass protector on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 of the running backs. Who do you think it would be?
I don't know. You know, size-wise, I think you'd probably go with Andre Brown, but he's frankly has not proven that he can handle that role. And that's one of the things they were worried about him last year is his pass protection. So, you know, it's a good question. David Wilson still has to make strides in that area.
Yep.
I don't know that there really is anyone on the roster yet that is fully capable of doing that, and including Darrell Scott in that mix. And everyone's got to step up and improve there. No one has really proven that they can be the protector of Eli that we all know we need.
Exactly, and that's why I'm thinking, like, we got to bring back Bradshaw, Jacobs, or Turner. We're not sure about that.
Well, again, there isn't. There's still a question as to whether or not, frankly, in my opinion, if Jacobs wants to play.
Right.
Two, there's a question if Bradshaw does want to play, but is he right now healthy enough to play? In my opinion, again, I don't know anything. This is my gut. If Bradshaw, by middle of July, comes in here, shows that he's healthy, he can play, to me, with his ability to catch, and we know what a good pass protector he is, to me, he'd be a pretty ideal guy to bring in for at least a safety measure in that spot. Because you'd love David Wilson to be the third-round back. He's so explosive. You get him in the open field sometimes on those third-down plays. He'd be great. But, again, he has to prove that he can protect Eli. He hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, no question. Yeah, but I do agree. I think Bradshaw remains a viable option if he can pass his physical.
Yeah.
Okay. My next question is Terrell Thomas. Just barring the worst that can happen, say he does come back healthy, you think that he could possibly take over the starting job from Brown?
At safety?
Yeah.
No, I don't think that would happen. I could see Terrell Thomas being kind of a hybrid corner third safety, but I don't think he's going to start this year, no.
Same way we could have used Charles Woodson. Instead, he decided to retire and go back to Oakland.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird to me. Charles Woodson wants to win, and instead I'm going to go back to the Raiders.
Well, Peter King wrote it yesterday. Charles Wilson got $700,000 to sign. He wanted a signing bonus, and that's the Raiders gave it to him.
There you go. So it's all about the green sometimes.
There it goes. Yep. Okay, last question, and I'm out, y'all. Knowing that y'all know now, who would you rather have? Percy Harvin? Or Victor Cruz?
You know what? I would rather have Victor Cruz. And here's my argument for that. I know a lot of people out there disagree with me. And I've had this argument on Twitter with people before. To me, Harvin is such an injury risk, whether you're talking about the migraines, whatever else. He's never played a 16-game season. And what has Victor done the last 2 years? He's played 16-game seasons. Percy Harvin has never had a 1,000-yard season. He might have a higher ceiling. He might be a better athlete. But to me, Victor Cruz is more reliable, and he works well with Eli Manning. I would rather have Victor Cruz.
And Percy Harvin's been a bit of a complainer about his role in the offense, which Victor Cruz never is, although, of course, he's had a big role in the offense.
Nothing to complain about.
Yeah. No, I think Victor Cruz is just a good fit for this team for a lot of reasons.
I totally agree with y'all. It was just that I seen something on TV the other day. One of the guys on NFL Network was, like, pooping Victor Cruz, like it was like a non-comparison. Like, oh, Percy Harvin, you got to take Percy Harvin over Victor Cruz if it was a draft. Like Victor Cruz, like he does things that not a lot of people can do yet. People don't understand. Like he gets open. Like not a lot of people can get open. Ask Ramsey Bolton. You know what I mean? So he gets open. He got moves. You know what I mean? So yeah, Percy Harvin, he's a great player. But I'll take Deshaun Jackson over Percy Harvin.
That, to me, is a lot closer. I think Deshaun Jackson and Harvin are probably in the same boat. Harvin is a bigger guy, so I think he probably has a little bit more lasting power than Jackson. But I think that's a decent comparison. We appreciate the call, Shakes.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
Thanks, man. That one thing does bother me. A lot of people have kind of, you know, gotten angry about what Victor Cruz's demands are. Oh, he's just a slot receiver. He's more than just – I mean, let's not turn Victor Cruz into Danny Amendola here, okay? Yeah. I mean, Cruz is a little bit more than just a slot receiver. He does a lot of damage outside, too.
No, no question. He's just a very valuable guy, and he's made some clutch plays. He's productive. He's a Pro Bowl receiver, and he's got the Giants record for yardage in a season. He's a guy Eli looks for. He's a very valuable player for many reasons.
Well, I ask you this question every couple of weeks, so I'm going to ask you it now. Gut feeling, mandatory minicamp. Is now actually, I believe, 13 days away, if I'm not mistaken. I believe it starts two Tuesdays from now. Will Victor Cruz be in the building for mandatory minicamp?
Yeah, my gut feeling is that it'll be resolved by then and he'll be here.
Hakeem Nicks.
Yeah, I don't know. I still don't understand why Hakeem Nicks. Unless, the only reason is he might not be if he's legitimately upset about the Victor Cruz contract, which hasn't been signed yet, then, yeah, but I believe that everyone who's supposed to be here will be here at minicamp. I'm standing by it until proven wrong.
I'm with you. I have a feeling they're going to figure that out, too. And a big reason, obviously, is that they can pull that tender off the table, too.
Right.
And I'm not sure Victor wants to say goodbye to Garen. You know
That's
what?
Right.
I understand Victor wants his, you know, whatever, 4 years, 36, whatever his demand is. I don't know what it is. Nobody does except for the Giants and Victor Cruz. But to say goodbye to $2.9 million guaranteed is still, especially for like Victor, who hasn't made $1 million yet in his first 2 years as an NFL football player, that's a lot of money to just kind of scoff at poo-poo.
It sure is.
I knew my man Mike Farmer would pipe it on Twitter once somebody brought up on my Bradshaw. Once Bradshaw back, Jacobs no, Turner maybe. What's your take on Jacobs? I think we've talked about this before. Do you think there's a decent chance he plays again for the Giants? Is he retiring?
No,
what do you think is going
to
happen?
No, I don't think. I don't know that he's retired. I don't know. I haven't talked to him. I don't know that he has a tremendous desire to play, but I think on the Giants' part, they feel they've moved on. And I think if any of our former running backs are going to return, it's going to be Bradshaw.
I agree. How about your thoughts on Michael Turner?
I would just prefer to have Bradshaw. You know, he knows the offense. He's popular here. He would fit right in easily.
And honestly, if he's healthy, Mike, I think he just has more left in the tank.
I was just going to say, John, that Turner's got a lot of mileage, a lot of tread on his tire. I just would prefer Bradshaw.
And then Mike also chiming in. Victor has been very consistent the last 3 years. Harvin has not been. He'll take Cruz. And I agree with that. I thought Harvin, I know he's so explosive. He can run the option. He can do all that other stuff with the Wildcat, blah, blah, blah. But he got a lot of money for a guy that's never had a 1,000-yard season.
Oh, I know. He's he's got a tremendous reputation for a guy who's never had a 1,000-yard season. A, he's had trouble staying on the field. And B, as I said, he's been a bit of a complainer. And you don't want those guys. I don't want them in the locker room.
And I realize he never had a quarterback in Minnesota either, and that has something to do with it. The injuries have something to do with it. But it'll be very interesting to see how he does in Seattle. I'll tell you what, if he can stay healthy for 16 games with Russell Wilson, you know, Marshawn Lynch bringing safeties close to the line of scrimmage, the Seahawks are going to be a darn good team this year.
They should be. Let's see if Russell Wilson can play at the same level again.
Good point, too. Same for Colin Kaepernick. So those are, you know, when you look at those two teams.
Same for RG3.
They're right. When you look at those three teams, the question really is the quarterback. Can those three guys repeat?
At that high level.
Because we've seen, look at Cam Newton last year. He came off a great rookie year. You know, he played better the last half of the year, but the first 6-7 games, he really took a step back.
Absolutely.
Cam Newton last season. We got to see what these guys do this year.
Absolutely.
Mike, we appreciate the time as always, and we'll check you out at OTA practices tomorrow.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening to the Ramsey's Barden Show.
It wouldn't be a Giants offseason if we didn't have at least one Ramsey's Barden Show. Mike, come on. Everybody, thanks for joining us on the phones. Thanks for joining us on Twitter, everybody, at #GiantsChat. For Mike Wise, and I'm John Schmelk. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Paul DeTino will join me. We'll get into the OTAs to see what's going on here with the New York football Giants. Enjoy your night. Talk to you tomorrow. Later.